But having some idea what Peter will be addressing us in the scriptures a little later on, I wanted to link up with that in some way, as you see the link up as we go. Theme that I just bring out to you, and it's strange really, it does link up with what James has been sharing on their spiritual experience in Europe. And the thought that I've heard the Lord impress on me was the spiritual rock is Christ. So I'm looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and just one verse, you'd like to share that with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, and it speaks there particularly how the Lord led the Israelites as they passed through the wilderness. And you can see that in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 4. You can see in verse 1, they were under the cloud, that's the blessing of the Lord, through the Red Sea, or at the same spiritual food, the manna. And verse 4, 1 Corinthians 10, 4. They all drank the same spiritual drink, water from the rock, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. And it's very interesting that when James and Claire and Kathy were in Europe, France, Belgium, Germany, very clearly they were led by the Lord, without any questions you've been hearing, and in that same sense that the spiritual rock followed them. Oh, isn't that amazing? So I'd like just to share a few scriptures with you, and most of the time will be taken up by Peter. But the thought of the spiritual rock is Christ. Well, he was with them, of course. We know that in the wilderness wanderings, and the tabernacle was built, there was the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day, and that led them, and then they followed that. And I'm just going back into Deuteronomy. I'm going to move from several scriptures, but mainly from the Psalms. I'd like to share them with you, because out of that, there is a description of the spiritual rock, the characteristics of the spiritual rock. And we'll glean these out from these scriptures. I'm going back to Deuteronomy chapter 32, if you'd like to share that with me. Deuteronomy 32, or you may like to listen. I'm looking at two verses in Deuteronomy 32, which is Moses' own testimony. If you like, it's a song of Moses. And chapter 32 and verses 3 and 4, as he recounts their journeying through the wilderness. Deuteronomy 32, 3 and 4. For I proclaim the name of the Lord, that's his character and quality. Ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are just. A God of truth and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. That relates to his name and quality as the spiritual rock. He is the rock. He is the truth. I'll go forward into 1 Samuel. Try and take them in order to make it easy. In 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. And this is the words of Hannah. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 2. Hannah in prayer. And in verse 2, 1 Samuel 2 and verse 2, we read this. For there is none holy like the Lord. For there is none beside you, nor is there any rock like our God. A rock is that which is firm, sound, structured, immovable, and really is a rock. She said, the Lord is like that. He's my rock, personal. He's your rock, personal. Note into some of the Psalms, very descriptive. Let's begin with Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Let's look at verse 5. Verse 5 of Psalm 27. This is David's statement, his own declaration of faith in the Lord. At the beginning in verse 1, he says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And that was the experience in Europe too, for sure. But look at verse 5 with me. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, place of security. In the secret place of his tabernacle, in his presence, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock, and that's where you stand too. Of our salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ. He sets us upon him, secure and strong, underneath of the everlasting arms of that rock. Go on to Psalm 31, just turn over the page, Psalm 31. Let me look at two verses, 2 and 3. Psalm 31, description here. To the psalmist David here, when he was hounded by Saul, he found that the law was a rock to him. Look in verse 2. Bow down your ear to me, so he's pleading in prayer. Deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge. So the rock is a refuge. A fortress of defense to save me. How true. Verse 3. For you are my rock and my fortress, therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Which, of course, was happening with the spiritual rock in the wilderness for the children of Israel. They were led, guided by the rock, and it was David requesting that in his prayer. For him, the rock of refuge, a fortress, a defense, one who would lead him and would guide him in a place of safety and security and blessing. Back to Psalm 28, verse 1. Psalm 28, verse 1. Again, it's David in prayer, and he is rejoicing in the Lord's answer to his prayer through this psalm. Psalm 28, and verse 1. To you I will cry, he's praying. O Lord, my rock, who's one I can find security in, one I can find strength in, one who's going to support me, one who's going to stand by me. And I stand on him and I'm firm. Firm as a rock. He's your foundation. Do not be silent to me, lest if you are silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my supplication. O Lord, my rock, personal. Wonderful. Now, further on into Psalm 62. Lovely psalm, this one. Psalm 62. The whole psalm is very special. Well, they all are, but this one, it really is. Psalm 62. And look at verse 2 and then verse 7. Psalm 62 and verse 2. Here again is the cry of David. He said, hear me, hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. Verse 1. Verse 2. From the end of the earth I will cry. That's verse, sorry, chapter 1. Truly my soul silently waits for you. His prayer in Psalm 62 verse 1. From him comes my salvation. He's going to rescue me. He only. No one else. He only is my rock, verse 2. And my salvation. He's my defense. There's a word again. I shall not be greatly moved because I'm on the rock. I have security in him. Verse 7, verse 7. In God is my salvation and my glory. Oh, there's a new word coming in. He's my glory. He's going to share his glory with me, with you. He only is my rock and my salvation. In verse 6, he's my defense. I shall not be moved. Verse 6, verse 7, in God is my salvation, my glory, the rock of my strength. There we are. It makes us strong. We can depend upon him. He encourages us. He lifts us up and gives us courage in time of need. The rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. What he says to us in verse 8, there is his switching thoughts to others. Trust in him at all times. You people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Amen. He's a rock. Wonderful, isn't it? Go back to 1 Samuel with me. It's an unusual story in 1 Samuel. Samuel was leading the people in worship and sacrifice. And they were rather defenseless. And the Philistines had surrounded them. 1 Samuel chapter 7. And Samuel is challenging the people to put away other gods. So they did. Verse 4. And Samuel said, verse 5, 1 Samuel 7, gather all Israel to Mizpah. And I will pray to the Lord for you. So they did that. Got together, fasted that day. They confessed their sin to the Lord in verse 6. Now verse 7. Now they were quite a helpless, defenseless people. Now when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel had gathered together in Mizpah for worship and sacrifice, the Lord of the Philistines went up against Israel. When the children of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. So the children of Israel said to Samuel, do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines. So then they gave an offering of a lamb in verse 9. Samuel cried to the Lord, and the Lord answered him. So as this was happening on, you can see in verse 10, the Philistines drew near to the battle against Israel. Ah, now look at this. This is the rock of their defense. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day. And they were confused and they were overcome before Israel. So they went out and they drove them all back far away. Now verse 12 is the verse 12 I wanted. Verse 12. And Samuel took a stone, set it up between Mizpah and Shen, and called it him Ebenezer, saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. The rock has helped us. He protected us when we're defenseless. We're off our guard too, but he's still the rock. You needn't turn to this one. Back in Genesis 49, when Jacob gives these prophecies about his 12 sons of the nation of Israel, and referring to Samuel, in Genesis 49:24, it is, I'll read it. Joseph's arms and hands are made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. He's the rock of Israel. He's your rock as well. He's the stone, the rock, the stone. Now I would like you to turn now to the book of Daniel. This is very important. Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. And this, of course, where you know, well, Daniel is relating to King Nebuchadnezzar, the dream of this huge man, made of metals. You know that. But in chapter 2, we're going to two pairs of verses, 34 and 35, where Daniel recounts what so-called Nebuchadnezzar forgot, and then he gives him the interpretation, 44 and 45. So Daniel 2, 34 and 35, do please turn to it with me. And Daniel says to Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, you watch while a stone was cut out without hands, not human, he's the Lord, isn't it? Which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away, so there's no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain, or in prophecy a kingdom. That's a millennium. Jesus is king, and fill the whole earth, which he will. Now, and he gives the interpretation to the king in verse 44 and 45. Let's turn to that. And in the days of these kings, and that's the future, I won't go into that, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, because he's going to rule. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Now verse 45, to explain it fully. In his message he saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, so that it broke in pieces, the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold. The great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain in interpretation. Sure. The stone is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming to smash all godless Gentile powers when he comes again. But he's a stone. He's the rock. In Matthew 21, I'd like you to turn to there, coming towards an end. In Matthew 21, Jesus refers himself as the chief cornerstone, quoting Psalm 118. Matthew 21. A couple of verses, 42. Read from verse 42. It's a parable, of course. Won't go into that. But it's a summary and a conclusion by Jesus of the parable. It's a parable of the vine dressers. You can read it early if you wish before the... And Jesus replies mainly, of course, to the Pharisees who were listening. Verse 42. Jesus said, did you never read in the scriptures, quoting Psalm 118, 22-23? And he quotes it. The stone which the builders rejected. Well, of course, Israel rejected him. The leaders particularly rejected him, Jesus. He has become the chief cornerstone. Hallelujah. He's your chief cornerstone. He's Israel's chief cornerstone. He's the foundation that supports everything else. And he supports us. We stand on him, but he supports us. We stand on the rock. This is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. The stone that came to smash this image of Gentile nations, Daniel 2. Here Jesus referring himself as the chief cornerstone in Matthew, quoting Psalm 118. And look in verse 44. Verse 44. Relate this to Daniel 2. Whoever falls on the stone will be broken. Whoever's going to fight him will not win. But on whoever it, the stone that is, falls, anyone who stands in opposition to Christ. So in a summary here, of all the descriptive words relating to the rock and the readings we've had, here's a summary of them. Christ is our rock, of course. Our fortress. Our refuge. Our shelter in the time of storm. Our shield. Our safety. Our guide. From the psalm, our defense, our salvation, our strength in time of need. He's our shepherd. Shepherd of Israel, your shepherd of mine, we know that. And he's the chief cornerstone. Everything is built on him. Hallelujah. He's a rock who supports us, but everything is built on him, the chief cornerstone. Christ is that spiritual rock. All that description of him in person.
Hallelujah, what a Savior he is.
You know, these readings and the description of the rock is a tremendous lift up for anyone who feels downhearted and just discouraged. Realize who the rock is and the description of his person is a lift up for the downcast. Encouragement to you and I as well.